Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise
God indeed. Let's all stand and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. What a busy time, exciting time at First Pentecostal. I know for each of us personally are going through different things, but you know, we serve a mighty God. And if we place everything into His hands and just let Him guide us and to carry us through those storms or through those seasons, and even as we can look out and see the life just blossoming everywhere. And for those of you that suffer with pollen, I'm sorry, but it's a beautiful time of the year. But God knows. He gives us the rain when it needs to settle the pollen too, doesn't He? Praise the Lord. If you have a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise Your name. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, for giving us the freedom and the opportunity to gather in Your house and in Your mighty name. Dear Lord, as we come to You, dear Lord, with just an open heart and an open mind, dear Lord, we ask You just continue to let Your blessings flow, dear Lord. In our service tonight, dear Lord, we want to open up our hearts and our minds to You. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, have a free reign amongst each and every one of us, dear Lord. May we be receptive to Your will, receptive to Your word. And, Lord, again, we just thank You for Your many, many blessings. Lord, I know there are those going through things right now in our congregation. Dear Lord, You see the hands that are raised. Lord, we know that You're strengthening and guiding, but, dear Lord, we just need to release it to You completely. Lord, may we just release all of our needs, all of our situations, and all of our fears, and put them into Your mighty hands. Lord, You know those prayers that are going up. And, Lord, we ask You to touch each and every one. Those from our prayer box, dear Lord, for all those that are posted, those spoken and unspoken, dear Lord, we're giving them to You. Lord, through the testimonies of those that You've carried through, dear Lord, through the testimonies in Your Bible and Your Word, Lord, for those precious saints that's gone before us, Lord, may we be as strong and as loyal as You would have us to be. Lord, again, we thank You. We ask You to bless our pastor and his family. Lord, strengthen them as they go upon Your word, dear Lord, and go about Your work. Lord, we're going to give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's so good to see y'all tonight. Those of you watching online, you may be seated if you can. Just praise the Lord. Y'all look like y'all ready for church. I tell you, we've got, like I said, it's a busy time and it's a wonderful time. But as we open up our services, just do keep those in mind, all the special prayer requests and all the needs. I know we just gave them to God. And while you're here, we're just going to go ahead and open up our service. We do have a couple of announcements. I'm going to do just swap things around just a little bit. Before we go into our congregational song, and they were playing it so beautifully, we're going to do Jesus, Hold My Hand. But I just want us to think about, again, every situation that's going forth, all the ministries, all the work that's going out, and ask for your blessings. The announcements that we have, don't forget about all those that are involved in the Easter play and the Easter presentation. I want to ask for a special prayer for our Sunday school teachers. I know as I was talking to them this week and we were doing a special direction for the teachers to go on as we start the little ones and even the adult classes as we go into the Easter story and we talk about Jesus and His love for us, God's love for us. I'm just going to ask y'all to keep each and every ministry in your prayer, and all our ministers and all our teachers. They serve an integral part of our church, and we're so blessed. For those of you watching online, again, as we say many, many times, if you have a prayer request or need, please put it in the comments section. And if you have a praise report, let us know. We'd love to hear what God is doing and all the different things He's doing. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and do our congregational song. We're going to have Jesus Hold My Hand, page 52. Y'all join in with me. Praise the Lord. You can stand or sit. I'm the one that said sit down. Wasn't I? Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to
may be seated if you can, again. We're going to go ahead and get ready and take up the evening offering. But you know, I was just thinking as we were singing that song, there's comfort in knowing that you're being guided by the Lord. But also, as you remember through our lives, you know, when our parents would take our hands. And sometimes they needed to keep us in the right path. But those times that we felt a need or we felt that we needed security is grab hold. So how much more is grabbing hold of God's hand and just let Him guide us? And you know, it's there for the taking. We just have that, just make up our mind. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our evening offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen.
It's up to me which path I'm gonna take. We've only got one life to get it right. And even though I make mistakes, I'm perfect in His sight. That's when He loves me most. Each time I drifted far away, He's always led me home. And when I turn my back on Him, He's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when He loves me most. When I have temptation stare me in the face, I should have turned my head and looked away. I went stumbling down that road a time or two, but each time I came back, far grace led me home. And when I turned my back on him, he's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when he loves me most. And when I turned my back on him, he's always held out hope. When I deserve the least, that's when he loves me most.
Testing, 1, 2. And then Miss Karen, if you'll come after Miss Susan, and then Miss Tabitha. I didn't get a chance to ask you earlier if you'd come.
If your mind is filled with doubt, your life turned and tossed about, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll relieve your mind of doubt and save your soul from Satan's trap. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus, if you have. Just cry, Jesus, and the angels are on their way. Just cry, Jesus, till the bells of glory sound. Just cry, Jesus, and all heaven will surely come down. If you feel your guilt and shame for a world you've tried to gain, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll take all your shame away and show to you a better way. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus, if you have a need today. Just cry, Jesus, and the angels are on their way. Just cry, Jesus, till the bells of glory sound. Just cry, Jesus, and all heaven will surely come down.
Testing.
I'm going to sing Thanks.
Thanks, I give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks. I thank you, Lord, for the strength you give to simply carry on through life's toils and tests, in the worst and best I'm not ever left alone. You are always right beside me, you hear me every time I pray,
And since I first began, you've been my dearest friend, and I give you all the praise. And I just want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest, oh Lord. I give you thanks. I give you thanks this moment, and I will continually. For each day I live, the grace you give, and I'm blessed abundantly. I can't forget that moment when in my life you made a change. And since the Spirit came, I've not been the same. I just want to give you thanks. And I just want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks. And I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Divina, do you have a song after this, Tabitha?
I've not practiced this song in a while, but this week, one of our friends in Chattanooga, he pastors a church. He messaged me, said, I don't know why, but when I woke up this morning, I could hear you singing this song. So I'm going to sing it tonight, and I'm going to tag him in it later so he can see it. But we used to do the nursing home ministry a lot together when I lived up there, and I miss going and singing with him. But I'm going to sing this song for Brother Dale tonight and to give honor to the Lord.
Jenny's got more month than she's got money. Works three jobs, she's barely getting by. Bob got a word, his mom's been told it's cancer. So many questions, and all of them ask why. We're living in a broken world, and a broken world won't bring you any answers. Everything is upside down, wrong is right and right is wrong, but not for long, no, not for long. This crazy world is broken by a Savior, and nothing here can take him by surprise. Someday all this hurting will be over, and every tear's been wiped away and dry. But for now, we're living in a broken world, but not for long. And gone, left everything behind. Daddy's getting tired, his faith is fading. He can't get water from a well that's running dry. We're living in a broken world, and a broken world.
upside down. Wrong is right and right is wrong, but not for long. No, not for long. This broken world is cradled by a Savior, and nothing here can take him by surprise. Someday all this hurting will be over.
This morning, Sister Penny asked me if I would sing, and I said, you're going to have to pick one, because I can either sing or I can play, but I can't do both. I just, my mind goes blank, and I'm out. But I'm going to try it, and if I stop playing and just start singing, you'll know why. I just can't. This is my home.
It's a long and dusty road that my feet, they're traveling on. And sometimes, oh, the clouds get dark and low. Oh, but I've got to keep the faith and walk that straight and narrow way to reach that place that I can call my home. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. Reunions by the millions everywhere. But the one that I so long to see is the who bled and died for me. My home, my home, a place I long to be. Oh, so many hold this old world so dear, but I am just a stranger here, just passing through on a temporary stay. And friend, I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven, it will be mine. Just watch and pray, it could be just any day. For my about it now and then, reunions by the millions everywhere. But the one that I so long to see is the one who bled and died for me. My home, a place place I long to be. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. My home, a place I long to be. My home, a place I long to be. Well, that's my home.
Well, glory. Amen. How about you? You looking forward to that home that the Lord has prepared? My. It's going to be beyond our ability to even comprehend how great, how wonderful and beautiful that the Lord has made a place for us. Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Amen. All the troubles and trials that we face here on a day-to-day basis are going to be behind us. We'll have no more sorrow, no pain, no sickness, no death. Everything's just going to be glorious and wonderful in heaven. Amen. I just can't wait till the Lord just opens those skies and just takes the church home. Amen. I just hope and pray that those who are not ready will get ready. Amen. This could be the day. This could be the hour. We don't know. And even if he doesn't come back, we don't have the promise of tomorrow. In fact, we don't even have the promise of the very next breath that we're breathing. So let's just be ready when the Lord comes. Amen. I'm not going to sing. But I am going to preach, I think. Amen. Going to read some scripture anyway. Amen. Didn't we have a good message this morning? Amen. Brother Tony, you did a wonderful job. Amen. Thank God. Appreciate that so much. It's a wonderful message. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. Luke tonight. In the fourth chapter of the book of St. Luke, beginning with verse number 14, Luke's writing concerning the Lord speaking in a synagogue. In verse number 14 of the fourth chapter of the book of St. Luke, and Jesus returned in the power, everybody say in the power, of the Spirit into Galilee. There went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Just throw this in. Jesus believed in going to church. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, or Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your precious word, for the promises that we find in your word, for the help, for the strength, for the healing of our bodies. Father, I ask you humbly tonight, God, to anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay. God, speak to us tonight that you would have us to hear. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to be submissive to your will. Father, we pray too that you would reach out to those who are sick and suffering tonight, those who may be afflicted. Father, we know that you are a healing power. Father, we ask you too to reach out to so many who are lost and undone, seemingly unconcerned about their salvation. I pray, God, that you would stir and prick their hearts, bring them to an altar of repentance before it's everlasting too late. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. If I had a message title tonight, it would be "No Longer Captive." No longer captive. You Bible readers, you will be familiar with that passage of Scripture, as was Jesus. In fact, Jesus was familiar with all the Scripture. Amen.
Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But as he was handed the Bible, or the scroll, in fact, what the book that he began to read, he turned to basically what we refer to as Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Isaiah 61, and read from it verse and partially of verse number 2. Then he closed the book, and I backed up and I read that again, and it began to dawn on me, or began to be revealed to me, I guess, if it wasn't hidden anyway, but I began to realize the importance of closing the book. It was almost like Jesus was telling them, this is what you need to hear, and this is what you need to understand. Now, we know that Isaiah was the prophet, but we understand that Jesus was the prophecy. Amen? Isaiah talked about it, said one, even though he was saying, I am anointed to preach, and he was anointed by God to be a prophet, but he was not that supreme sacrifice. He was pointing to another, and Luke bears that out as he records the words that Jesus said. And after he closed the book, he said, this day, this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I've come tonight to tell us that we are no longer captive. Amen? We're not. Sometimes we say we're bound by this, but I don't believe that we are. I believe those chains have been broken. I believe those things that had us captivated have been set free. The key has unlocked the gate or the door or whatever. Now it's up to us to come out of that bondage, to come out of that captivity, and be free and live a life like a true saint of God should be, glorifying and praising God as we minister and get ready to go into heaven, our glorious reward. So we're no longer captive. I begin to think about the captive have been delivered. And I begin to dwell this week on deliverance. And deliverance is a mighty, wonderful act. It's a glorious act. Carries a lot of weight to be delivered. If I could just see a show of hands tonight, has anybody ever been delivered of anything in your life? Take that other hand and give the Lord praise if you would, because of his ability to deliver us. I thought about Paul and Silas as they were in the jail, and they're singing and praising the Lord in the midnight hour, and the whole place was shaken, and God was able to break the chains that had them bound and give them deliverance. But you know what? I begin to think that physical chains are not the only thing that the Lord can deliver us from. I want to reiterate what Christ said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." How do we know that? Jesus just had come out of the wilderness, and he said, in the power of the Spirit. He was anointed, the anointed Son of God, the sacrificial lamb, but also I want you to understand the other things that Jesus came to do while he was on this earth, and not only on this earth, amen, but for generations after that. He said, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I don't believe that just means those who don't have money, because I believe if we're not familiar with the gospel, we are in fact poor. We're destitute and we're lost if we don't know the word of God, and certainly if we don't know the plan of salvation. Many times preachers get accused of preaching the plan of salvation too much or over and over, but I don't believe you can preach the plan of salvation too much. Amen? Maybe you've heard it time and time again, but you know what? The Bible tells about the sower, and the sower went out to sow seed. All of that seed didn't fall on good ground. Thank God you were the good ground that was able to take that seed, and it began to grow and nourish, and you came to an altar of repentance and accepted Jesus Christ. But how many knows there's still people out there that have not accepted Jesus, and they need to hear the plan of salvation. So church, ministers, pastors, keep sowing the seed, amen. Some of it's going to fall, somebody's going to hear it, and somebody's going to obey and receive the plan of salvation into their life. So he said, to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want to encourage the church tonight. Jesus is familiar with a broken heart. Not only is he familiar with a broken heart, but he knows how to comfort us during our time of sadness or sorrow or grief or whatever the case may be. You know, if you've had your heart broken, it could be through many different situations, a relationship, the passing of a loved one, or whatever the case may be. But Jesus is the one that can heal and mend that broken heart. He's always there to comfort us, always there to help us, always there to lift us up. But it doesn't stop there. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to inform us tonight and remind us that the Lord Jesus has already delivered us. I said he's already paid the price. He's already unlocked the door. He doesn't want us to be bound. He doesn't want us to be under captivity. And he doesn't want us to be chained to the cares of this life and to this world. And I want to remind us, just because we're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just because we've been saved and born again, doesn't mean that we can't be bound sometimes. Sometimes the binding around us is because of the adversary. But I want to remind us tonight, sometimes it's our own doings. It's the own things that we get incorporated into our life, the things that take on such an importance or a precedence in our life, and we get so tied up and so bound up with those things that many, many times they take priority over our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, God is a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to put anything between us and him. Anything that comes between us and God is detriment to our salvation. Detriment to our walk for God. But we've been delivered. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, we've been delivered. Amen. I'm a captive no longer. No longer are we captive to the things of this world. Jesus epitomized that as he walked this earth. We find the story where Jesus was walking on the streets of Jericho. And as he was walking, there was a man by the name of Bartimaeus, been blinded and sitting there at the wayside begging alms for a number of years, and he heard that Jesus was coming by. Now, you may say what you want to about Bartimaeus, but I will give him honor and I will give him credit. He had faith. He believed that if Jesus was coming by, if he could somehow get the attention of Jesus Christ that day, that he was going to receive his sight, he was going to be healed. He was not going to let the time slip by. He was not going to let this opportunity pass him by. If we had that kind of faith tonight, if we had that kind of faith as we come into the house of God and into the sanctuary, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And if we have any problems, troubles, trials, sickness, or affliction, we don't have to leave, amen, in a captive state. We've been delivered. Not we will be delivered. We've been delivered by the Son of God, by Jesus Christ himself. So as Jesus began to walk down the streets of Jericho, and I'm just thinking maybe the streets were maybe covered with maybe a fine rock, gravel or something, and maybe Bartimaeus was listening. They say that when you lose one of the senses, the others seem to be stronger. So I'd imagine he paid a lot of attention to his hearing. And probably as he was listening for the crowd to come by, anticipating the approach of Jesus, he began to shout, the Bible said. He began to shout, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible tells that it was so loud that some around him tried to keep him quiet. But he hollered all that much the louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus saw him, knew his condition, and came over and asked him to come. And as Bartimaeus got up and threw his coat off, and he went to Jesus, and Jesus healed and anointed his eyes, and he was delivered that very night or that very day from the captivity of darkness. Can we somehow associate the healing of Bartimaeus to many today who are bound by darkness? Maybe it's not the eyes not being able to see, but maybe it's the darkness of the world. And everywhere they look, all they see is trouble, gloom, sorrow, and anxiety, never seeming to see the joy and the happiness and the contentment that the Spirit of the Lord should be giving us. I would venture to say that that person needs to be delivered from the mindset of always thinking the worst, always seeing the worst, never seeing the hope, never seeing the joy, never seeing the comfort of living a life for the Lord. I want to remind us tonight, if that would be any of us tonight, then we need deliverance. And I want you to understand, you've already been delivered. When Jesus said, and he closed the book, it is done. I said, when he closed the book, he said it is done, because the prophet, as he prophesied about this, he said, you have seen the scriptures fulfilled this day. He is the deliverer. He is the one that can set you free. He is the one that can open up those blinded eyes. As he spoke to Bartimaeus, he can speak to your life tonight. And the darkness that surrounds you and the gloom and all of these other things, the Lord has delivered you from that. No longer are you captive to those things. You need to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke all of the darkness. I rebuke all of the sadness. I rebuke all of those things that are in my life, because I've been delivered. Amen. Who would shout tonight and say, I've been delivered? Praise God. Hallelujah. Another story tells us that there was a lame man who was carried daily, laid by the pool of Siloam, I believe it was. Totally dependent on others. Because, as the Bible tells us, there was an angel came down at a certain season, troubled the waters. And the first one into the water was made whole of whatsoever disease that they had. Let's liken it today to a miracle drug. But we're only going to be able to give one dose a day. And it's only going to be available to the first one that is standing in line. Would you not imagine that there would be a number, a multitude of people standing in line? And do you know how society is? There'd be some pushing and shoving, trying to get to the head of the line, so that they could get that one dose of whatever that miracle drug was that was going to deliver them of their sickness and affliction. And not only did they wait that day, but they waited the next time and the next time and the next time. But every single time, somebody got ahead of them. And it seemed like, in reading the story, that this man was there, but he didn't have any idea that he was going to get to be the first one in the pool. Because Jesus asked him. He said, well, every time I try to get in there, somebody goes ahead of me. Jesus kind of reminds him that no longer are you captive. He simply says, take up your bed and walk. And from that time forward, the man was healed. Because Jesus was able to deliver him from the captivity. I would liken that today to spiritual inability. Now, the spirit is very able, but the vessel has to allow the spirit to be able. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Many are filled with the Spirit of God. Many have talents. Many have things that God has blessed them with. But somehow along the way, it has become somewhat inactive and maybe a little bit of inability within their spirit or within their body to allow the Spirit to move and work in their worship of God. For whatever reason, I've heard some horror stories. I've heard stories where saints of God have been hurt in a church. You would think that would be the last place in the world that someone would be hurt. But folks, we're folks, and folks are folks wherever you go. Sometimes we got to understand, we got to let those things kind of go off our back like water off a duck's back. Sometimes we got to let it go in one ear and out the other ear, because I want to remind you of something. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, it's never going to keep me from worshiping God and serving God. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to obey God. I'm here to put Him first in my life and everything that I do. So maybe you're not laying an impotent man by the pool waiting on the moving of the water. But there's some spiritual inability in you. I want to remind you that you're no longer captive to that. Maybe the adversary has convinced you that you wasn't really called. You really didn't have that anointing. You really can't do anything for the Lord. You know what? It doesn't matter what you do for the Lord. As long as you do it for the Lord and He gets the honor and glory, amen, you ought to keep doing it. I want to remind you, if that is your situation tonight, you are no longer captive to those things that's causing you not to praise the Lord in liberty and in freedom. I hope that everybody who comes into First Pentecostal Church knows that they have the liberty to glorify and praise the Lord. It's not out of order. It won't scare me. It's all right to shout for the Lord. It's all right to run for Jesus. It's all right to praise Him. He's given us the breath and the ability to glorify and praise Him. I came by to remind you that you're no longer captive to that. The Bible goes on to tell us that there was a leper. In fact, there were 10 of them on one occasion, one on another occasion. And in both cases, they were healed by Jesus. One occasion, Jesus just reached out and touched him. He said, "Wilt thou be healed?" And he was made whole. Another time, he approached a leper colony. And they said, "No, no, no, don't come near us. We're unclean. We have leprosy." And Jesus walked right on in the middle of it. Hallelujah. And he healed them. Boy, they took off. He said, "Go on back. Show yourself to the priest. Go back and enjoy your family." Boy, they was headed back to town, and one of them realized what had just happened. And he turned around and he glorified God. He began to praise Him. And Jesus said, "Where's the other nine? I'm here to ask tonight, where's the other nine that's been delivered? Where's the other people that's been set free? Where's the other people that the Lord has healed them, touched them, anointed them, made a way for their family? Only a small part, our minority, turned back to glorify and praise God." You might say, "Brother Eddie, what has that to do with captivity? Freedom from isolation." Isolation is a very scary thing. Isolation can cause you to become so introverted, so withdrawn, a lack of self-confidence. Listen, I don't know why they call it self-confidence. I want to call it Jesus confidence. Because if I didn't have Jesus, I wouldn't have any self-confidence either. But my confidence is not in myself. My confidence is He that is within me. Because my Bible tells me that I can do all things through Him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. But there is a real situation of isolation that causes people to not maybe move in church like they need to. Shyness, embarrassment, whatever the case may be. You know what? Believe it or not, when I was growing up, I was accused of being shy. And you laugh. But I was. I don't know how many shades of red they are, but I turned all of them whenever a girl spoke to me. Every shade of red you could imagine. Murmured, started out, and I couldn't get really, you know. But you know, thank God that He delivered me from that captivity. Because you know what? Shyness is one thing, but not about the, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Glory to God. I said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Glory to God. I'm not here to build Eddie up. I'm here to build up Jesus. Amen. And when I realized that, I was not up the, behind the pulpit to do anything on me except to give God honor and glory. And that gets me excited. And that makes me want to tell everybody, come out of your shell. Come on. Come out of that isolation. It's all right to praise Him. It's all right to be a Christian. I choose to be a Christian. Nobody's making me do it. I choose because that's what the Bible tells me to do. If you're suffering from isolation, you have been set free. No longer are you captive to that. The key's been opened. Will you come out? As the jail is unlocked, come out. There is your exit from that captivity. He goes on. And as he's ministering, this little story always, I love this story. So many songs are written about it. But the woman with the issue of blood. Again, here's about Jesus. You got to understand how difficult it was for her to get to Jesus. But she found a way. Just as I said, she found a way. 12 long years she had suffered this condition, this issuing of blood. And you know the medical facilities there, they were not what they are today, but she had spent everything she had on doctors, but had only gotten worse. She was at the proverbial end of her line. In other words, this was her last chance. Everything else had failed. Nothing worked. But she heard about Jesus and his ability to heal and to change lives. And if she could, I would imagine she would have run to Jesus, but somehow I don't think she had the strength or the energy to run to Jesus. If in fact anybody had an excuse not to run to Jesus or to come to Jesus, it may have been the woman with the issue of blood. But she put that aside. And she says, I've got to get to Jesus. Whatever it takes, if it takes my last amount of energy to get to Jesus, then I must get to Jesus. And when she finally found where Jesus was, he was thrown with a crowd, a bunch of people standing around. It had been another opportunity for her to say an excuse, well, I came, but I can't get to him. But in her weakened condition, in her frail little body, she pushed and she shoved and she made her way to Jesus. And she didn't ask Jesus to give her audience. She didn't ask Jesus to turn around and heal her. But she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you something. If you have struggled, if you have tried, and everything that you've tried, you've only gotten worse. It may not be a physical condition. It may be something that's totally spiritual or mentally in your life that you can't seem to get over it, and you push and you strive to get to it. But I want to tell you tonight, you have already been set free. Just reach out and touch the hem of the Lord's garment, and you can and will be delivered. Hallelujah. No longer in captivity to a terrible affliction. Do I have any believers in the house tonight that believe that Jesus still heals? That with his stripes we are healed. That the healing has already taken place and been paid for. It's up to us to receive it by faith. No longer be under captivity. Very familiar story. Finds Jesus and his disciples in a boat going across the sea, getting out on the other side. And immediately there runs a man up to them by the name of Legion. Possessed with demons, evil spirits. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but when I was a young boy, my granddaddy would preach about that. In my imagination, I envisioned a beast. That was just me. Something that was almost not human. Maybe like some of the horror pictures that I saw when I was growing up. Maybe somebody with long claws and fangs and, you know, that demonic look. But the more I began to read, the more I began to think about it, I believe he was just an ordinary man that was possessed with demon spirits. I wanted to say that because you may run into somebody today that looks absolutely, completely normal, and you don't know what they're fighting and battling inside them. That's the reason we need to watch. We need to be as safe as we possibly can in every area that we go. And I know the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, will protect us, but he also tells us to watch and pray, because somebody that looks completely ordinary could be fighting demonic spirits within their soul. And if you've ever had any opportunity to see the workings of a demonic spirit, it is something that will make cold chills run up and down your back. So Jesus gets out, and here comes this man running up to him. And first of all, he's, you know, pretending to worship the Lord. And Jesus understands and sees right away. And he begins to speak to him. And he says, "What is your name?" And that demonic spirit thinks that he can push Jesus over. And he says, "It's Legion, because we are many." I want to tell you something. The demon spirits, the adversary himself, is a mighty big blowhard. He will bully you. He will try to get fear in you. He'll try to back you into a corner. He'll try to tell you, "We are many. You can't rebuke us." But I want to tell you, Jesus said the book is closed. The scripture has been fulfilled before your very eyes. I'm here tonight to tell you the healing process has already been done. The delivering process has already been paid for. You are no longer captive. We are no longer captive. We have been delivered by the blood of Jesus, and we have the power to rebuke the adversary when he comes against us. In the name of Jesus, not in the name of the church, not in the name of your pastor, but in the name of Jesus, he is the one that fulfilled that prophecy. So I believe that we're no longer captive to demon spirits. Amen. There is a very big difference than possession and obsession. A lot of people have been obsessed. But let me tell you something. If a person is possessed, you will know it. You'll know it. It is very real. It is very real in this day and hour that we're living in. And I want to just throw this out too. There are people today that's playing around with this stuff, and it's like playing with dynamite. Spiritual dynamite. It's terrible. Satanic worship. Witchery, all of those things, you need to leave that alone. Sorcery, all of that is anti-God. God came to deliver us from that. So we're no longer captive to demons. Now, we may not want to talk about the next one, but I included it anyway. Jesus was walking along the path, and there was a little fellow that wanted to see him and could not because he was short of stature. So Zacchaeus runs and he climbs up in a tree so he could see Jesus better. And Jesus comes and looks up to him. And he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home with you today." And let me tell you something. When Jesus gets in your house, he sees everything. Come on, he knows everything about you in your house. Everything there is. Even the dirt under the carpet. Even that terrible closet that all the junk goes in. If you open the door, it all falls out. You know what I'm talking about spiritually. When Jesus is in the house, he sees everything. And if you read the story, Zacchaeus was so impressed with Jesus and he wanted a change of life, he began to confess to the Lord, "If I've taken anything for anybody, I'll return it fourfold. Lord, I understand. I've done wrong. I have been captive to money and the desires of money. And I want a change in my life." What did Jesus say this day? Salvation is coming to the house. Let me tell you, salvation will clean your house. I said, salvation will clean your house. Amen. It'll rearrange the furniture. It'll rearrange what's important in your life. How many is it thankful that salvation came into our life and it made us so happy because the past was gone. We were no longer captive to our past. So no longer captive to the desire of riches. And finally tonight, Jesus was approached by some very religious, pious people who had witnessed a sinful act and was ready to stone this woman for this sinful act of adultery. It wasn't hearsay. They basically said that she was caught in the very act. And Jesus said, okay. All right. If you're going to go by the law, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. You know, I said, Jesus is in the house. He got in their head. He looked in their heart. And you would have thought someone would have tried to cover it up and picked up a stone. But if I believe anything, I believe the eyes of Christ are very piercing. And I can see him looking in the eyes of each one of those religious, pious Pharisees, and without speaking a word, let them know what their past was all about, what they had done, and that they was given a second chance. So he said, okay, go ahead. And him who is without sin cast the first stone. The Bible said one by one, they begin to go away. And he says, woman, where are thine accusers? And she looked around and couldn't find any. What did Jesus say? Go thy way and sin no more. Amen. Why? You're no longer captive. I don't know if that hits you. But one night in an altar, I came down guilty. I came down sin laden. I came down and in my mind I knew. People say, when do you reach that age of accountability? I can't tell you an exact age, but I can tell you at a very early age, I knew that if I died without the Lord, I was going to hell. I believe that's the age of accountability, whatever that age is. I knew better. I knew I needed Christ. I knew I couldn't make it into heaven, amen, by my acts. I knew that I needed deliverance. I knew, amen, that I needed the precious blood of Jesus Christ applied to my life because I was captive to my past. I was captive to the things that the flesh enjoyed. I was captive to the things of the world. And I thought I could just visit church and go to church and still do the things in the world. Let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you're going to have to draw a line in the sand and decide whether you're going to be in the world or whether you're going to be in the church or whether you're going to be a child of God or whether you're going to be a casual saint. And I made up my mind, Lord, I want deliverance. And I had to confess. I didn't try to hide it. You can't hide it when Jesus is in your head, when Jesus is in your heart, because he knows everything about you. But I want us to understand tonight that we're no longer captive. Don't you let Satan try to drag up something you've been delivered from years ago. I don't understand why we as born-again saints of God will allow him to do that. Man, you know what he's doing? You have already, this is an analogy, you've already put it in the glad trash bag. You've already tied the twist tie. You've dumped, put it in the dumpster, and they have already come by and picked it up. And it's your fault if somebody tries to bring that stuff back into your house because you've been delivered from that. Amen. You're no longer captive to that. All of these were just examples of what Christ did while he walked on this earth. But the greatest thing he did to deliver us from captivity is when he stretched his hands out on the cross of Calvary. And he could have called heaven's angels to come down and deliver him. But he didn't. He stayed up there not because of what he done, but because what we had done. Not because he had sinned, but because we had sinned. And he bled and died on Calvary to free us from all captivity. And he sent me by to tell you tonight, you are no longer captive. You are no longer held responsible for the things that are under the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to shout, thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Thank you for deliverance. Hallelujah. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, verse number 14. That doesn't look right. Did I write that down right? That's not the one I wanted. Well, let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13, 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. No longer captive. No longer captive. What did Jesus say? He said in Luke, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is so important. And he closed the book. Basically, that's what we needed to hear. He said, I am fulfilling that scripture today as he stood before them. I want to remind us today of what Jesus Christ did for our sins, and to remind us, too, that we're no longer held captive by this world or by the lust and by the sins of this world. Amen. And if you are, just give Jesus an opportunity to come into your house. He'll rearrange everything and set everything in perfect order. Can you say praise the Lord? Would you stand tonight? Church, we love you so very much. Thank God for you each and every day. Thank you for your prayers and support during this time, too, for Mother's illness. We feel your prayers. We feel your prayers each and every day, and we thank God for that. And we just ask you to help us pray that God's will be done in that situation. And there's many other folks. We were talking to someone just this week. It is amazing how much sickness and affliction is in the world today. Even in our small circle of friends and brothers and sisters, many people are suffering. Many people have situations and issues. But I want to remind us all, amen, that we're no longer captive to those things because Jesus Christ took stripes for our healing, and he shed his blood on Calvary for our salvation. And when we get right down to it, what else do we need besides Jesus? He's all we'll ever need. Amen. As eyes are closed and heads are bowed tonight, if you have a need, please come forward. If you have a situation that you need to be delivered from, amen, there's no better time, no better place to do that than right now. There's children and saints of God who will pray with you and pray for you tonight. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Well, again, we just love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful and glorious week. Pray for somebody this week. Just pick a name out of the hat. It doesn't matter. I know you're praying for everybody, but pick some person this week and just say, Lord, who do I really need to pray for? And I'll assure you, if you pray for somebody, they'll feel the effects of it. God bless you. We love you.
Yes.
that everything will go really well. You're going to be fine in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to hear the testimonies. God at work. Just praise God. Praise the Lord. So good to, again, to have y'all with us this evening, those watching online. As we prepare to depart, is there any more of the prayer requests or anyone else needs prayer? Don't want to leave anyone pending. Yes, ma'am. Amen. We'll definitely pray for him. Larry is his name. All righty. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed, but I want y'all to have a wonderful week and continue, as Brother Eddie said, just pick someone else to pray. That's a perfect example. Larry is his name. And there's so many other needs out there. But we want to invite y'all back for service Wednesday night. And we love each and every one of you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, your word is powerful, dear Lord. The understanding in your spirit is so strong, dear Lord, and so holy. Lord, we thank you again for just allowing us to be here. For the word that was brought forth, dear Lord, I thank you for each and every family represented here, those watching online and those that are here live. Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. And we know there's so many traveling. This is spring break for a lot of the people. Lord, keep them safe, dear Lord, as they travel and go about their way. But most of all, dear Lord, we want to do anything that we do, we want to do it in your name. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. And it's in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful week. Praise the Lord.